All right, here we go. Hey, this is Rich, and this is Rich the Architect, Episode 2, How I Almost Died One Night in Architecture School. With these episodes, what I'm looking to do before we get into the story is have a couple categories of that I'll deal with on a daily basis. One of them, which this one will be, is storytelling. So if I have any stories from, you know, my life or business or whatever, I'll do an episode related to that. But I have a couple other categories, any types of topics like tips and tricks or lessons learned from, on the business side, tips and tricks, you know, probably more software Revit related, even other topics on the personal side. And then finally, I'm going to have some guests eventually. I've talked to a few people, so we'll see with get some people on here in some future episodes. The one other thing I want to do on a daily basis, you know, whether it's a weekly or whatever, is give a little bit of a update. So on the business side, so last week was a pretty busy week. Obviously, was it Wednesday, I believe, I did the first episode of the podcast, but to add to that, starting on Monday, I do some work with the town here on the government side. I'm on the town's Economic Development Commission and also the Main Street Committee, which is revitalizing the Main Street here in town. Actually, my office is on Main Street, so I have a couple interest helping the town, but also helping where my business is located as well. So as part of that is there was a diner here in town called Geet's that was closed for a while. It's kind of a landmark if you're driving from Philadelphia down to the Jersey Shore in the summer. If people use the Black Horse Pike, which Geet's is located on, to get to the shore, you go by there and there's this large sign that says Geet's. It's kind of a landmark that people will use sometimes. Even coming into town, they'll will say, oh, go to the Geet's sign and hang a left, etc. So the diner unfortunately closed last year, but a new owner bought it, fixed up what was some issues that were in the building, and then opened in the recent months. So one of the local Philadelphia news stations has a Monday, like they go to a diner and they're like a traffic guy or weather guy. He'll report from there and do different things, different clips through their morning show. So they were in on last Monday, and we were there, I guess I showed up close to 5 in the morning until about 10, did different clips. It was kind of neat. We got to be, I was basically in the background for a lot of it, but a number of people that I know who, have different, this guy Patrick, who has Sustainable Monroe, which is, does sustainable events and there's a town garden and stuff. He had a clip. My wife actually with her ballet school had a clip. It was pretty great. My daughter was in it. I was actually in it as well. I was dressed up in my wife's does the Nutcracker every year, so I was actually in a Nutcracker costume. So the start of the week with that, the same day I had an RFP that was due with the town for 2 fire halls. I'm doing that with a partner up with another architect. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll get that job, but that won't be, that takes a little bit. Hopefully we can get on the short list, get interviewed by the town, and, take it from there, and, actually hopefully, be hired to be the architect for 2 renovations of fire halls here in town. Besides that, mastermind group that I have from Revco Work, which is like a, business network, but the guy John who owns it, it's a co-working space, and we have a mastermind with that. Coordination of existing projects through the week. Had an interesting meeting with some engineers for some possible ad services for some of the building types that I work on related to energy. So we'll see where that goes. Interview for new projects as well. I had met with a couple later on in the week for a residential project, and then had a project kicked off at the end of the week for doing a feasibility for a bigger project. It was for a school, and we'll see where that goes. Actually did a 3D scan of it. It's the biggest 3D scan I did of any projects so far. Again, we'll see where that goes too. The other interesting thing with the week was that there were a number of existing clients that have some new potential projects with them. One client who the permit set isn't even done yet, and he's already talking about another project, very similar project, you know, like a second location. You know, existing clients that I've had from 2009 just contacted me about a new development project in Philly. So again, we'll see where that goes. And then, you know, a couple projects that were kind of actually sitting on hold, I got to go ahead with two of those as well. So that was pretty much it for the week. We'll see, you know, we'll see where it goes. And, you know, as we go week to week, you know, we'll get updates on a number of these things. So finally, the episode that we're going right now is back when I was in architecture school. Well, actually, real quick with the storytelling is one thing I was thinking was, you know, having a you know, some business related stories, some personal related stories, you know, and obviously with business being architecture. And I was trying to think of one that might have two, you know, kind of combine both. And this was the perfect one. Back in architecture school, I had an accident where I fell and actually shattered my foot. But it was a situation where, I mean, an inch here, an inch there, I could easily have died. And you know, I still have my foot to the day. But there was even a scenario, and I'll get into it in the story, where I could have lost my foot as well. So, you know, obviously it's related to architecture school and, you know, architecture because of being in architecture school, but it was also, you know, something I had to deal with on a personal side as well. So, hope you enjoy it. And, yeah, so here we go. Here's a story of how I almost died one night in architecture school. Real quick, right before the story here, the music here in the episode is, the name of the song is Funky by the Chamber Brothers. If you're a big, or if you're just a Tribe Called Quest fan, you're going to recognize this sample almost immediately. So I love it with Spotify. They have a Discover Weekly playlist that puts songs like this in there, you know, on a weekly basis. And, you know, it's a nice surprise all the time when I'm like, oh wait, that's, you know, whatever, you know, hip hop song or sample or whatever. So enjoy. And again, we'll get right into the story of how I almost died one night in architecture school. For anybody here who went to architecture school, we all know that the time you spent in architecture studio is probably the majority of your time spent in all of college, all 5 years or 6 years or 4 years or whatever it may be. You spent a lot of time in architecture school. And I would assume most architecture schools was like mine, where you can go into the architecture studio at any time of any day. It's open 24 hours. We had I know when I was at school, there was a period of time where the studios were not open 24 hours. So we had a little bit of a fight, the students did. We had a newer school. I actually went to what is now Thomas Jefferson University. Back when I was there, it was Philadelphia College of Textiles and Science. I was in the third class of the program. So there was a lot of new things going on. Some things that might not have been set up at our school that other schools may have had at the time. So, you know, it was always kind of, it was neat because we were new, and there were a number of things that, I mean, we were kind of in a way building the program, and, you know, our input, I think, you know, was very helpful, I hope, in, you know, growing that program. But like I said, you know, for a period of time, the studio wasn't open for 24 hours, but that eventually was by my third year. Was definitely there. So, the night I'm going to talk about here was early on in my third year, but I'd like to actually go back to the end of my second year first. And late night in studio also means there's also, you know, lack of sleep. We do silly things, whether it's, you know, stressed out or you don't have sleep or, you know, we're just college kids. And I always find it interesting with the time that, you know, we just didn't have the time management skills that hopefully, you know, I'm 20 years later after school that I have now, or, you know, that people, you know, will have 20 years older. I mean, I think it's just natural that way. But you know, time management skills were just horrible as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old, et cetera. And that kind of also lended to having to be at architecture school all the time, architecture studio. But in that second year in the spring, you know, late night at studio, just doing silly things. One thing I would do is I kind of have a background in dancing. Did you know, dance classes growing up. I was on the school dance team, stuff like that. And you know, late night just for a release, you know, we play some music in the studio, start dancing around. And in the spring semester, there was one of the architecture buildings that was near where our studio was. There was a couple. We had, you know, there was a building with a shop, and we were in there one night, and a bunch of us were. We had a guy actually, or the theme song to Shaft, for some reason, everybody was like into. So we played the music and we were dancing around. But for some reason, I had an idea to take it outside and, you know, play the music. And when I was like on actually a ledge on the roof of a building, and we were dancing around and people were below, and, you know, it was just crazy. It was just, you know, for a good laugh. But, you know, nothing there happened. You know, it was just fun. But at the same time, lack of sleep. I had a, right at the end of the semester, right when I was done with my work, I had a T-square. And I was like, oh, when I'm done, I'm going to break this T-square, because the following year we were going to be at a different studio and we were going to use parallel rules. So I took this T-square outside and I broke it and I threw it down. I ended up cutting my hand really bad on the broken T-square. So it was like, you know, when you're tired, you kind of get, you know, do some stupid stuff and you get yourself hurt. And, you know, not just a couple butterfly stitches actually kind of fixed me there. So didn't even got hurt, but, you know, kind of avoided some of my silliness, got it, you know, avoided anything serious. And then even into that summer, I took some jobs at a temporary, like a temporary labor place. And I had, you know, I was doing demo jobs, almost got hurt there, got hit with a hammer or something on my hand. Then I took a job in a food distribution warehouse, and I actually got caught on a conveyor belt. My pant leg got caught where two conveyors hit, and almost lost my leg there. Was able to actually pull away and ended up tearing off half my pants. But my after that happened, my dad stepped in. And he had a job that was a little bit more safer at he worked for a mechanical contractor, and he got me out of there. And he was like, you know, no, you're gonna end up getting hurt or something like that, you know, pretty serious. So let me get you out of there. And I worked at in his office. They needed somebody to help with CAD work, so I did that for the rest of the summer. So I had a few instances. It was almost like I had two strikes happen to me that year. So moving into the fall, first month, it was probably about 3 weeks into the semester, we had a project that was due, and I was probably the second day without sleep. And that night, you know, a bunch of us, we took a break, and, you know, we're sitting out front of the architecture studio. And there was a buddy of mine who, the way our architecture school was set up, there was a number of windows that looked over the main quad of the campus. And a buddy of mine used to, just as a practical joke late at night, because the windows there was always like tables for the students, you know, that we were like the prime spots in studios. And usually it was like, you know, the upper classes, like the fourth year or fifth year studios were right there. So one of the guys, he would, you know, such as it was like a, you know, big fight to get those desks, he'd go out late at night onto this, there was a little ledge outside the window, just a few feet off the ground, like about 10 feet off the ground. And he would just climb out there, and somebody's working late on their drafting table with their head down or something. And they just silly, just knock on the window, scare them for a little bit of a laugh. So this semester, this guy, he was actually had one of those desks. So a bunch of us, we're taking a break, and we're out front, we're eating hot dogs from 7-Eleven or whatever. And I kind of like ask him like, hey, the guy's name was Omar. I was like, where's Omar? And somebody said, oh, he's working his desk. I'm like, yo, it's time. We're going to get him. He always gets everybody else. So we're going to get him. So me and my one buddy, we decide we're going to go out on the sledge. So like I said, it's only a few feet. It's like 10 feet off the ground. We start walking around the ledge, and I find out after the fact, my buddy Jeremy, he almost slipped, and he kind of turned around. I didn't even notice that he turned around. He wasn't even with me. So we get around to this one section of the building, and the windows there, they're actually at this like bit of like an angle, like a 45 degree angle. So it gets a little blurry right here. I don't remember all of it, but I think what you needed to do to get around these windows was you kind of had to like grab onto the window, step around, and kind of, move on to the next window. So what I remember is I was on the ledge, and then all of a sudden I'm facing away from the building and falling off of the ledge. Now, like I said, there was about 10 feet of, that the ledge was off the ground. So worst case scenario, probably fall into a bush or something, or, onto the grass. But I decided to pick the one spot to fall where there's a mechanical pit that added probably another at least 15 feet to my fall. So I remember falling, and strangely, I remember when I was falling that I was like, I got to hit and I got to roll, just, roll forward and, try to break down the fall a little bit. Well, I didn't hit and roll. I hit and bounced a couple times, and immediately I knew something was wrong. Well, that, what I could remember, because I hit, bounced a couple times, probably hit my head, blacked out. Think the time got a little weird. I'm out there by myself. All of a sudden, there's people down there with me. I'm getting carried out. I don't remember all of that coming in and out. And all of a sudden, I'm in a hospital. So the one part where I almost died in that fall, obviously the fall itself, I could have probably died if I would have landed on my head or something like that. But I just missed the mechanical unit that had an active fan. That's the one lucky part. The second lucky part about it is, cause I could have fell, the first part I could have fell into the unit itself. But the second lucky part was that the base of the pit was all stone. So that probably helped in terms of, the impact probably was a little bit quote unquote like softer, I guess. Get to the hospital and all that stuff and get x-rays. And I come to find out that I shattered my foot. I basically, my left foot landed flat. My right foot landed heel first, and my heel was completely shattered. And I found out later on that the particles of bone in the shatter were like grains of sand. So, avoided death, but then I found out that my dad told me this later on, that the doctors were seriously considering amputating my foot that night. So I didn't find this out until like 9 months later, but, but I could have, potentially lost my foot. So what ended up happening was I got a plate put in my foot, 9 screws, and, about, I think it was a week and a half of me being in the hospital, with, all the good old, morphine and all that different stuff. There, it was a few days there were very, very hazy. I was in and out, and and then eventually I went back, got back to school, and I actually just rerun real quick. That night I was before they couldn't give me painkillers, so I was on a stretcher in the hallway, and I was the crazy guy in a hallway because the pain was like so bad. Until I don't know what the time let's say 6 hours after this happened, then they can give you painkillers or something. But it was excruciating. It was just so painful. I was, you know, went a little crazy, I guess. So after I get done with the hospital 2 weeks later, I go back to school. And one thing that really sticks to me, I had a conversation with my dad. And my dad basically told me, I got to own up to this. He said, you were dumb. You made this mistake. You're not leaving school. You got to finish the semester. So it really stuck to me. And I think that was like, you know, one of the first times really where it's like, hey, you know, when you screw up, you got to own it. So I did finish the semester and, you know, I didn't finish everything perfectly. I mean, I had a elective class that the professor was like, hey, you after all this happened to you, you showed up, you're getting a B, you know, you don't even have to come to the final. And I was like, I'll come to the final, but, you know, he insisted. So I had to do a little bit extra with studio. That there ended up being a really bad snowstorm that winter break. I had to do some work over winter break, and I just couldn't get there because of the snowstorm. It was one of the biggest snowstorms in Philadelphia. This was back in, like, I think 96 or 97, or yeah, 96, I believe, in January. And it was like 20 some inches or something. So I couldn't get there. And one of the other reasons was I had a complication from the surgery. In the surgery, the plate was actually preventing, I found out that the plate was preventing my skin from healing because there was a large scab on the side of my foot. It was like it was the shape of a football. So I had to go to what's it called? Like a skin doctor or whatever. And they took a look at it. And speaking of the pain from shattering my foot, this might have been even worse, this experience, because I go in there and the doctor's like, well, we need to know what is what when we do this. So we can't give you any pain medication or numb it. Is you're going to have to bite down on this towel. And even now I'm kind of like, it seemed barbaric, and I'm like, I'm kind of scratching my head, but they're like, we have to cut this off, and we have to know, you know, where the pain is or whatever. So I end up biting down on a towel while they cut me open. And what ended up happening here was, yeah, the plate in my foot was pushing the skin apart. So after this whole experience of getting the side of my foot cut off and feeling the whole thing, you know, the doctor leaves the room, and I'm trying to, you know, just kind of, you know, regather myself or whatever. Doctor comes back in. First thing he says to me is he starts talking to me about muscles on my back. I had to stop him. I'm like, hey, what's my back got to do with this? You just cut me open, you know, and I just, you know, upset or whatever. So he just kind of calms me down. And he goes, well, you have these muscles in your back, and what we're going to need to do to kind of fill in this hole, you know, there's a hole in the side of my foot now. And the plate's sticking out, the skins, or the screws are sticking out. They're like, we're going to have to basically cut along your shoulder, because it's a series of muscles, you know, under your shoulder blade, and take a portion of that and kind of basically plug in the hole. Thought it was crazy, but it's what they ended up doing. They had to remove the plate and the screws because it was exposed. And the moment it's exposed to air like that, it can become infected. And when anybody gets a plate, it's just like getting a cast. It's just that you can live with the plate in your body, but in this case, they're like, well, we're going to remove it. Your bones have healed and everything. So got that removed and got the muscle graft done. I was in the hospital longer on this one. I had to go into intensive care. My sister calls the day of the surgery just to check in, make sure everything's good. And they're like, oh, he's in intensive care. So my sister kind of freaked out a little bit. And but what it was they had to monitor the blood clot in my foot. And if if you got the chance to look at my foot, there's a scar that kind of goes across my foot from, and then there's a bump where the muscle graph is too. I get hurt at the gym sometimes and people are like, what the heck happened to you? Because they see it, they think my foot's all swelled up. I'm like, no, that's just a muscle graph. That's part of my back or my shoulder. So there's a vein that goes across, it connects to another vein, and they had to monitor that for, I believe it was 3 days, and you know, make sure it didn't clot. Because if it clotted, then I'd have to go in, and they probably would have taken, they took it off my right shoulder, they might have taken it off my left shoulder or something. You know, they would have redone it again. But, you know, luckily everything was fine. Got through that. But, you know, at the same time, just to kind of like add on to it, I'm in, this was done at University of Pennsylvania. They were renovating the hospital at the time. So the hospital room I ended up being in didn't even have a window, and my school was back in. So I had some, you know, people visited me like immediately, but I, for pretty much a week, my family was in, you know, 2 hours away, whatever, you know, the scenario ended up being, I was like in a hospital room by myself, not, you know, probably not the whole 7 days, but didn't have a lot of visitors, didn't have a window. You know, so it was, you know, depressing in a way too, but, you know, again, got through it, and, it was, you know, just a very, you know, very tough thing. And then, you know, a week or two later, whatever it was, 2 weeks later, you know, luckily it happened the first day of the spring semester. So I was about 2 weeks late, you know, coming into school that semester. But again, I, you know, got through the semester, got through the year, you know, finished, ended up being on crutches for, I think, like 9 months, you know, and of course, like, I get back in January, and there was another real bad storm, so I'm on crutches, and it's ice, an ice storm out, I'm trying to get through campus on crutches, and, you know, annoyed the heck out of my friends, too, because they needed to help me out, you know, initially, everybody was helpful, but, you know, it got old for a lot of people to, like, you know, go get my food, or whatever. I remember being at the cafeteria, and be like, hey, can you go get me a drink, and people were like, no, man, fuck you, you know, you know, friends were just getting kind of sick of me, you know, helping me after a while, which, I can definitely understand, but, you know, really, it was a you know, a tough experience, but got through it. But, you know, the one thing, again, that really sticks to me is what my dad said, was like, you know, you got to own up to your mistakes. And, you know, that's what I did at a young age. You know, got through it. I think, it was in some ways very humbling to me. I always look back and I think that, you know, my mindset before that, I was kind of describing some of the, you know, things I was doing, like I was just kind of being crazy and, you know, 20-year-old guy, you know, just being like, hey, look at me, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think this kind of like, kind of, you know, obviously hit me hard physically. And, but I think it kind of, you know, it had a very, you know, how I am today, it, you know, it was very, very, obviously very influential. And, you know, I'm grateful that, you know, what happened wasn't worse. Like I said, I mean, I could have fell into that mechanical unit, got cut up and died from, you know, a mechanical fan, or got electrocuted somehow, or, you know, could have lost my foot, and I didn't. And I will say one thing the doctors told me back then was that I was going to have arthritis by the time I was 30, and here I am at 43, I still don't have arthritis, but I do wear orthotics, you know, in my shoes, and getting into martial arts a couple of years ago really has been helpful with that as well. So, yeah, that's the story. It was a heck of a ride. And like I said, I got through that, and, yeah, that's about it. So, I'm going to finish it up right here for now. You know, again, you know, if you have any comments, feel free to, you know, wherever you see this, if there's a way to comment, or, you know, iTunes, the podcast is up on iTunes, so if you want to rate it or comment from there, you know, feel free to do that. And I'll wrap it up right now, and you know, until next time, I'll see you guys later. Bye.